my little smile on my face and, you know, say all the things I was supposed to say. And it was pride that would keep me from crying like Miss Pat did and just say, I just need help right now. Somebody on the inside, I'm screaming, on the inside, I'm crying, on the inside, I'm saying, I need something, but I didn't know how to ask. And so we want this to be a place that it's the atmosphere is you're not, we're, this isn't performing, this isn't forcing, we're here because we love the Lord and He's got the answers to all of our problems. You know I say things in a jokey way, so I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but, and if it does, it'll be okay, you'll be all right, you know, come on. But I think about how there was a time when I wasn't okay, Miss Pat, and so I would do drugs or do all the other things I wasn't supposed to do instead of feel. And we sure negate that. You know, sometimes it's just maybe sometimes life just hurts. And instead of thinking we have to anesthetize it or be something, we can recognize, you know what? I can feel because I can feel this. I know that this isn't something that God has. Otherwise, how would we know, right? Because we know through the Word that there's things that we are supposed to partake of and things that we're not. So, but because your heart is sensitive and it's not hardened, we're actually going to talk a little bit about that. Amen. You're able to say, you know what? I don't want this. And so I'm going to put my heart tonight on the altar. And Father, just ask that you do what only you can do. Heal it. Heal me. So, yes, sir.
Somebody needs to be able to minister.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All God we minister.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, we are. Yes.
The body begins to flow and the body begins to begin. Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I completely agree. You know, there's the thing called synergy too. When we all start participating, it changes things, right? Because, and I love this. I learned this from Dr. Caroline Leaf, but she said when we worship together, that our hearts actually start beating the same rhythm. That's crazy. How much more unified can you get than that? That your heartbeats have synced? That we're in this room tonight, if we're unified, this is the time that you get a miracle for somebody because we're actually beating at the same rate, right? We're in His presence. We're thanking Him, Father, for everything that you've already done tonight. You know, He's just like any of you with your own kid, wouldn't you do whatever it took to make sure that their needs were met? If you could, right? Well, God can. He can. And He loves us infinitely more than any human parent. What you need, I'm telling you, He has already provided for through the cross. And we just get to sit at His feet and sometimes just worship our way through it. So Lord, we love You. We are just so thankful to be here tonight and to just sit in Your presence and let You do what You do. God, I ask that through this word tonight, through this message, that you would touch hearts, teach things that maybe we pocketed for whatever reason or never knew at all. Open our minds like You said You would do and open our hearts to the Scriptures that we can learn. And God, we don't want it just to be an academic thing where we've learned something else, another Scripture. Let it be something that we actually are going to apply to our lives. Let something happen here tonight, like any time we come together, that it can just change the whole trajectory of our path, that we're just set a new direction and just it's just all You. Everything that we do, it's just all You. Let it be You. Let it be You, Jesus. Let everything we do be to bring You glory and honor. And we pray in Your name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to go through this. I love the music playing. That's a great video. And thank you, Dana. She walked in the door, and you can see I don't even know how to turn the TV on. So I was like, help. So thank you. Thank you. Everybody grabs a hold, and y'all just jump in and help, and that's awesome because this is the body. So thank you. Thank you. Y'all are great. This past Sunday, I got to teach Sunday school. And I was teaching on a little bit on the parable of the sower. So we're going to kind of build a little bit on that. But as I mentioned, and I don't know if I'm going to talk about this again next week or not, if this is something that God's kind of just like, almost like sometimes you see a thread in our clothing, how it just keeps going through. And so this is one of those pivotal parables. And I'll tell you why. I remember I'd heard it taught on umpteen million times, like probably all of y'all have too. And then one particular time when I heard it taught, the minister said, if you don't get this parable, you won't get any of the parables. And I'll tell you what, that was so revelatory for me. And what's crazy about it is that was scripture. And that was the parable that I thought I knew so well, and I didn't even know that was the scripture in it. So you see what I'm saying? Is sometimes we can think we know something, but we really don't. And the parable of the sower, like all the parables, they're all about the kingdom. And if Jesus said, if you don't get this one parable, you don't get how the kingdom works. Amen. Do you want to know how the kingdom of God works? Amen. I know we can make it complicated, and probably in my head, unfortunately, it probably is complicated. But to God, He's given us. He, in fact, when He explained the parable of the sower to His disciples, when He first taught it, He was in a large group. The group was so large that He had to get in a boat and get where He had some space to get away from them all. And so then he's preaching like Jesus did. It wasn't the only parable He taught at that time, but this one was specifically when they got back that evening, and it said that there were others there. So it wasn't just the disciples, but probably a smaller group of people. And you know, when you're in a small group of people, a smaller group, you probably feel more vulnerable and able to ask questions. Because I said that this past week in Sunday school, I have so many questions now, but you want a safe place to ask, right? And church should be a safe place. It shouldn't be a place that we feel like we can't ask some questions. We're here for Him. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to be equipped so that what we gain while we're here, we can implement while we're out there. So if you can't ask in here, what are we doing? So when He was with His disciples, they just said, Jesus, just, we don't know what this means. Explain the parable of the sower. So in the parable, Jesus describes ground conditions and heart conditions. Anybody know what the ground condition relates to? Oh, I just told you. Sorry. Whoopsies. Okay, I hope you caught that. What were the ground conditions?
Heart.
Our heart. Okay, and then seed that goes into the ground is what? What is that? The Word of God. That's right. So when you think about this parable, when He explains it all, the ground is talking about us. And He described four different heart conditions. He used these pictures because we see in pictures, right? If you close your eyes right now and I said elephant, you're all going to see an elephant. So Jesus knows how we work. He created us. We're living and being in Him right now. So He knows pictures work for us. So He gave them this picture of land and how the ground is different and how you're going to get seed in that ground. And so the four heart conditions were, the first one was wayside ground. And the wayside ground is ground that the seed never took root, because it says in that parable that Satan came immediately and took the seed. And so I'm praying about it and asking, but we may talk about that a little bit more next week. But just remember, please remember this. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Immediately. So Miss Pat, when we leave here tonight, as soon as you hit the door, it's going to be right back at it. Steal the word that God spoke through the people that are here tonight to you, because He doesn't want that to get root in you, doesn't want you to have any freedom. So we ought to all expect that, right? We ought to all expect, you get back into guilt, you get back into shame, you get back into something, and before you know it, the word has been stolen from you. So that's first. Okay, and then the stony ground is the ground or heart that's unstable because it grew up fast, but it had no depth. And I'm not great at this. My husband is. He understands all that. But trees, you know, there's trees that you see the height, but they're also that deep within the ground. So they're stable. So when the storm comes, if you've got a tree that's rooted deep, it's not going to be moved. But if you have one that is, it's just raw. And a lot of times these are people that life happens, right? Life happens. And when it does, they're like, I'm out of here. I didn't mind church until somebody made me mad. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody sat in my pew. You know what I'm saying? Dumb stuff. It's dumb stuff because we're not rooted in the Word. When you're rooted in the Word, you're like, whatever, who cares? I'm here to see God. I'm here to worship the Lord. So that's the the stony ground. And then the thorns is the one that it chokes out the word. And so just like in your own gardens, if you're growing things right now, or your plants in your flower bed or whatever, if you let it, I mean, I'm telling you, it will take over, and it happens fast, right? And then there's no growth at all. But he equates that parable, and this is, man, I'm telling you, the Amplified describes it so well. He says that it's the cares of this world. When he talks about that heart, that third heart condition, the cares of this world, the lust for other things, the deceitfulness of riches, the distractions of the age. Anybody distracted? Right? So I'm telling you, that heart condition, I think it applies to all of us. But then the fourth heart that he described was the heart that was good ground. And this heart, it just said that seed was thrown out. But in a heart that's good ground, it takes that seed in and it produces. That's why we're known by our fruit, right? Because your heart is a place, it's a safe place. So word's going to get planted in your heart tonight. And I'm telling you, all on its own, because in Peter it says the word is an incorruptible seed, meaning it does the work. You just put the right conditions around it and it's going to produce 30, 60, 100. You know, Deuteronomy, it talks about 1,000 times. So, all right. So that's where the it produces in our hearts. So now we're going to take that, what we just learned about that parable, and we're going to see how it applies to all the others. So you remember the ground is the heart condition. And so it's a heart that receives God's word. And what it's really talking about is how the kingdom of God works. So if the seed is words, I mean, it's so simple. I think we'd have to just mess this up. Right? We can, yeah? How does the kingdom work? It's simple. Let's keep it simple. The seed is what? So how does the kingdom work? Words. It works by words. I know, it's incredible. This is the power of the kingdom. Listen to this verse. This is Hebrews 1. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he in these last days spoke to us by a son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus radiates God. If Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And then that verse goes on to say, he upholds everything by the word of his power. In absolutely every way, he is holding it together. Did you know his integrity is so intact that if Jesus ever lied, everything that you and I see today, including us, would crumble? That is who he is. He is the word. This word, it says it's alive and it is sharper than any double-edged sword. That's the integrity of the word of God. So when we talk about the word of God, when we say this is alive, it's not just letters. It's not just another page. You know what? You could just take all this and just hide this in your heart. Hide this word in you. Let this word be so real. I'm telling you, you can know the word so well. Yeah, I'm not talking about knowing every page of the Bible. I'm talking about you know the word that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. You can have a revelation of one scripture and it changed your whole life. Because this is alive. It's alive. And he's holding everything together by the word of his power. So then think about it this way. Wouldn't it make sense that if we were to line up our words with his words, that same power would be present?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? That's what we're supposed to do. And this is what it is to be an ambassador. Okay, we talk about a lot of different God. Again, he speaks to us in pictures. We talk to him as we're the bride. He's the bridegroom, father and children. There's another angle. This is just another picture, another way of looking at things. But you and I are also ambassadors here on this earth, and we're actually called into the ministry of being an ambassador. Okay, so let's see this. So I know you guys know this. Who has been in school or still closest? Kinsley, you got to know this. What do ambassadors do? Naturally speaking, what would an ambassador do? What's their job?
Represent.
Yes, they present. They represent the kingdom from which they have come from, right? So if you think about it this way, if you guys came from the United States and you were sent over to France, did you know that the United States is still responsible for you?
Yep.
They are. They pay your way. They make sure that you are provided for. Every need is met.
Right.
But let me ask you this. If you went over to France right now and then you started converting to be a French, you know what you would call that in America? Yes. Treason. So what do you think when you think about getting kingdom words and then we're here as his reps on the earth, but we're not speaking kingdom words. We're speaking words of the place that we have then migrated to. Is that treason? Let me tell you, aren't you glad God loves us so much? Oh my goodness gracious, right? Because you just think, oh, say so much dumb stuff. But our words, oh my gosh, our words. I'll tell you this, I've done this before, and I'm going to suggest each and every one of you do the same. Get into Proverbs, and I put a T. Actually, I did it through the whole Bible, to be honest with you. But it's where it's Moses in Proverbs and Psalms. And I put a T on every verse that talks about our tongue. Because I want to get a hold of this. Because in Proverbs it says, life and death. It didn't even give a gray area. Oh my gosh, not maybe life, a little bit of death, maybe just a slow progress. It just said, period, flat out, life and death is in the power of your tongue. And he who loves it will eat the fruit of it. But then this verse, I wanted to read this one to you too. It's in Joshua. Because you would never know this verse was about our tongue, but it really is. Oh my goodness, it's incredible. This is Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Shall not depart out of your mouth. Okay, but you shall meditate on it. And you think, when you think meditate, a lot of times we think it, that's kind of like one of those weird, oh. And you know what? If that's how you meditate, whatever. Meditate, that word for meditate in biblical meditation, you would be shocked to know what all it means. It means to let it ruminate in your mind. It means to hum. It actually means to hum. It means to scream and wail, meditate. It means to use your imagination, all in one word. And you know, that's my favorite, imagination. But it also means to speak out. And look what this verse says. This is crazy. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, plug in for there, speak out. You shall speak it out day and night, observe and do everything that is written in it, for then you will be successful,
Amen.
Prosperous and successful, all by saying what God says, right? Anybody think you need to rein in your tongue? Does everybody have everything that they want in life right now? Have you been speaking the wrong things? Are you recognizing now that I'm in the position that I'm in today because of things that I've been saying for years and years to come? Remember, it's seed. It gets planted in your heart. And just like God's word is a seed, guess what? It is. It is, and it will grow. Because there's people today that are saying, you know, I just never got that feeling that I was going to live very long. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have that disease that my mom had. You know what I'm saying? We say this stuff all the time. We talk about our government, our world, our community, our kids. I remember I used to walk by my stepson's room, and I did not say nice things. I admit it. It was so true. But it was horrible. And I remember where God told me, stop it. You stop saying that. When you walk by his room, you bless him. You bless him. And no matter how stinky it is or how dirty it is, you bless him. You speak God's word over him. You speak God's intended purpose over him. And that's what we're supposed to do, each and every one of us, over our families, over this church. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, I got a lot of favorite ones, but we're to know no man after the flesh. No man. No, period, no man. It means I don't get to look at you and go, well, they're this place in life. They're still using drugs. They're still cussing. They're still drinking. Oh my gosh, please. Like, that's any of our business.
Amen.
Look at them in the spirit realm like the Lord does you. Aren't you glad God doesn't see you all jacked up?
Amen.
He sees ahead and he sees where he intends for you to be. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to look at anybody, no man. No man for where they are, only what God says. God, when you know, we have, do you know there's not in the Bible a ministry of correction? It's not in there. It's not in there. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We're to love. We owe nobody anything to love them. I'm not saying it never comes up where you guide and direct. Of course you do, because that's part of it. But I'm telling you, if it's not done out of love, you're a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, because you had no right to speak into their life anyway. So anyway, we're talking about our tongue. We'll keep going here. All right, so look here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. This is the kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. It's seed. It gets planted in our hearts. That puts us in the position of being ambassadors. Ambassadors are called into the ministry. There's a ministry specifically that they have. Okay, so pick up at verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God makes his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as his personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor offered you and be reconciled to God. So as ambassadors, we have been reconciled to God. So that word reconciled, it means to be called back, to be in right relationship with, where parties that were once separated have now come back together. And then quickly look over here. This is in Colossians chapter 1, more verses that are just kind of right along those lines. We'll start in verse 15. Talking about Jesus again, just like in Hebrews, it says Jesus is the express image of God. So if you see Jesus, if you know Jesus, you know exactly what God is. But now in Colossians, it says the same thing. He is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He's the firstborn of all creation, for it is in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him. It's just incredible. And for his service, and in him and for him. And he himself existed before all things. In him all things consist. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. For it pleased the Father that all the divine fullness should dwell in him permanently. And then look at this, God purposed that through the Son all things would be reconciled back through the Son. Has the Son already come?
Amen.
Has Jesus come?
Yes.
Did he live? Did he die? Through him, this is past tense. Through him, everything has been you have been reconciled back. God's not mad.
Amen.
He's not mad. He's not mad. He's in a good mood. All things have been reconciled back to him. All things through Jesus. This is a one and done thing. Jesus is not coming back to do the same old thing. He already did it. And now all things are reconciled back. And then it says we have peace. That's not talking about the peace in here, because that's our job. We're in charge of this. But we have peace in our relationship with him. That's what that word Irene means. And it said, the angels declared glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to men with whom God is pleased. And I'm telling you, most of us walk around like, I'm pretty sure that I'm the idiot that he's mad at. I'm pretty sure that I'm the one that's going to screw everything up today, right? Seriously, we do. That we're the worst creation that he's got, you know, we're the mole or whatever. We think of ourselves so... And I'm telling you, he's going, I made peace with you. And I'm pleased. I'm pleased. That word, Irene, peace, it means to be brought back together again. We're in him right now. We have peace with God. And so when you have this peace with God, you walk in the ministry of reconciliation. He's reconciled us to him. Now our job is to reconcile others. That's what we do as ambassadors. We preach Jesus. And let me tell you something, if you're not preaching Jesus, the gospel is the good news, right? The good news. I'm telling you that you're burning in hell for all eternity. That's not good news. That's not good news. It's that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's the good news. That's what we go around preaching to people. It's the kindness of God that's going to draw men. It's his love. It's going to pull people to him. They're going to go, why are you so weird? Why? I don't even get this. I don't even understand why you're nice. We talked to somebody today who was saying that she grew up, and I know it was a different time period, but there was a young man, and he wasn't liked because he was weird. He was different. He was a little off. I think he even presented himself as though he was a Satanist. But really what he needed was love. He just needed somebody to not look at the flesh, not look at that, you know, wall that you're putting up, to get past that and go, you know, well, God still loves you. He does. He just loves you. He's just crazy about you. He's just that kind of God. He's just that kind of Father. All right. So if sometimes we think, okay, so we have peace with God now. Why didn't we have peace with God before? Well, when God created man, I know all of you probably know this, but it's a good reminder. He gave unconditional authority over the earth. You know that? It was unconditional. He didn't dangle a carrot over you and say, well, if you behave... No, he gave it. He gave it all. And so because he legally gave it all, he couldn't legally, just when they screwed it up, go, well, let me get in there and fix it for you. Yeah. Because that's not, he gave it to him through his word, through his word. So he cannot go back on his word. He had to get the authority back legally. So, but because he gave them this authority, their job was to keep it. And I love this verse because to me it just explains it so well. But look at this. This is Genesis chapter, let's see, where are we at? Genesis 2. Verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden. And I know it says in the King James, it says it differently, but in the Amplified, it takes the word that's in the King James. I think it says to keep, maybe, but to tend, to guard, and to keep it. To tend, to guard, and to keep it. And I just want you to remember, it was perfect. It was perfect. What are they guarding it from? Right? It was perfect. Let me tell you something. You are living in perfect right now because you're in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom right now. It is your job to tend and to guard and to keep the garden. That's your heart. That's your heart. But okay, so we know they didn't, right? So they gave their authority up. They missed it. And when they did that, when they obeyed the enemy, that's what enslaved them. And in Romans, it says, it's Romans 6:16, it says, don't you know? Who you yield yourself to, you're servant to. That means you're a slave to. If you know the enemy is moving in your life to do things that you know you're not supposed to be doing, and you're just like, you just go on and do it anyway, you become servant to that. And it might seem like it's not a big deal at first, but it'll just pull you in further and further and further. And before you know it, you have just completely yielded yourself to the wrong source because you're like, I'm listening to that word. To his word. Okay, but God sent Jesus, we know that, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the devil. So the devil knows this. Did you know that he knows that his works have been destroyed?
Yes.
But do we? Do we? Do we? I'm telling you, I know that there is there's a way to war, but we always war from the angle of we've won. We're just enforcing victory. We're not making the victory. We're enforcing. He already did it. We know this is our land. Sometimes I think this land's your land, this is mine. Anyway, this is our land. This is ours. It is up to us to tend and guard and keep it. Right? Okay, so look at this. This is Colossians chapter 2. So we need to know the authority that we have. Colossians 2:13. Let's see. Okay, and you were dead. You were dead. You were. You're alive in Christ Jesus today. You were dead. You were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having blotted and canceled and blotted them out. And I want you to think about this. He did this before you were born, knowing what you would do. Oh my gosh, that's just crazy. Can you just think that through for a second? That he saw all the murders, he saw all the rapes, he saw all the liars. He saw all the thieves. And he said, yes. Yes. I do this for them. I love them. They're my kids. I know. It's incredible. Okay. So having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us, this note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and he cleared completely. He cleared it completely out of our way and nailed it to the cross. I'm telling you, a lot of times we just walk around as like all these things that we've done. And I'm telling you, even today, future tense, Jesus only died once.
Amen.
Everything that you are going to do, because I'm telling you, did you know anything not of faith is sin? That means if you thought I'm late today, I don't think I can do this today, you've already sinned. Anything that is not of faith, you're sinning all day. If that's our standard, let's just make it our standard. We are sinning. but we're not sinners.
Amen.
Because of the blood of Jesus. Right? I know, it's incredible. He is amazing. So he nailed it to the cross, and then look at, he disarmed. Have you ever seen anybody armed up, good to go? And then, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take that. That weapon that you use to condemn me with, I'm going to take that right now.
Amen.
That weapon that you use to pull me down, to drag me down, to I'm going to take that. That weapon that you use to draw me into something that I'm not supposed to be, I'm going to take that. He took them all. He didn't leave anything for him to work on us, to get in there. He disarmed him. And you know what? He did it publicly. Look at this. All the spiritual realm can see this. You have to see it too. You need to see it in here. He disarmed them. This is incredible. He disarmed the principalities and the powers that were ranged against us, and he made a bold display and a public example of them, triumphing them, triumphing. Yeah, that one. Over them in the cross. Through the cross. The victory was through the cross. He won it all through the cross. I'm telling you, they did everything they could. Go ahead, kill him. Okay. You just played right into his plan. Right? Because it was, he triumphed in the cross. He won through the cross. Now, I'm giving my life for them. I lay it down for them. I freely give my life for them. And then my victory, when I get this back, I'm going to give it right back to them. I'm telling you, if somebody had done such a jacked up job with the authority or right that I'd given them, you know, it's funny, a few years back, we let somebody watch our house when we'd gone out of town. Never again. Never. Never. They let their kids go through the whole house. I'm telling you, and I'm minimizing it, but it was bad. And never, they're never going to come and watch my house again. I'm telling you, God, he's like, no, come on. I'm bringing you right back into relationship. You're in the family. You're in the house. Everything I got, you got, because I love you, because you're my kid.
Amen.
Right? I'm telling you, he's just incredible. Okay, so we enforce the victory that he has won for us through our words. That is the ministry of reconciliation. So look at this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're back in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. He died for all, so that all those who might live, no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one, no one after the flesh, after a human point of view in terms of natural standards and values. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now, let me tell you something, a little secret. That's why they missed that Jesus was God, because they looked him in the flesh. And right now you can miss God because I'm looking at you. But who's in you?
Amen.
It's God. So if I... You're Jesus sitting right there. The whole Godhead has been put inside of us. But if we look at somebody in a fleshly sense, we're going to miss it. And they didn't know that Jesus was God, because they saw, well, he has to go to the bathroom. That's God. He eats fish and cooks and hangs out with sinners. And that's God? Couldn't possibly be God. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, so verse 17. If any person is in Christ, brand new. He's all, and you stay brand new. You stay all shiny, good, and clean forever and ever. Any man in Christ, he's brand new. The old is gone, gone, forever gone. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh new has come. Verse 18. But all things are from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us. Through Christ, through Jesus. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the vehicle. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. All through Jesus, we have been brought right back. And right now, we are in God, in him. It's crazy, crazy. But all things are from God, who through Jesus reconciled us to himself and brought us into harmony with himself and gave to us a ministry. You know, some people think, well, I'm just not really sure what I'm called to do. And I understand, because there are specifics that you want to hear, you know, I want to know this is the place that I'm, but everyone's called to this ministry. Everyone, all of us, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to draw people back to the Lord. We're all called to bring to people the good news, the gospel. It said it right here. We're called as ambassadors into into the ministry of reconciliation. And remember, you cannot forget what an ambassador does. They speak the words of the kingdom that they're from, not the one that they're in. We have to, that when Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we're drawing from that kingdom that is right here, right now, with our words. With our words. Your words. I'm telling you, your words, you're drawing things to yourself that you don't want. No. We are using our words. Okay, so let's see. Okay, verse 18. So all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. Verse 19. It was God. It was God. God the Father. He was in the Son, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us. You know, when you commit something to somebody, again, he never lies. He's not going to take it back and go, I changed my mind, you're doing a bad job. Forever and ever, you and I, we are in this ministry of reconciliation. He gave it to us. You know, a lot of people, they think, well, they sure don't act like God. Well, we have to yield to God to act like God. But his gifts and callings are without repentance. Once you are born again, once you are in the kingdom of God, you have been brought into, like Sam, what was it that you said? Sign me up, enlist me, I want to play. You're in.
All in.
Call me in. You are in. We're in. We're all in right now. So whether or not we represent him accurately because he gave that full authority, that's on us. Which is unfortunate because we know a lot of times we aren't presenting him correctly. And so we're leading people into an image of God. That'd be just like my daughter, if she came in and she said, my mom is the meanest thing on earth. I hope you know me better than that. But you know what? She could represent me that way, right? She could. And if you didn't know me, you'd be like, well, gosh, she sure is. I guess she is. And we have, I'm telling you, there is no one, no person more misaligned than God.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody has taken the rap for all the terrible things that have happened like he has. And it's not him. It's not him. So he drew us to favor with himself. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We make his appeal. He is his appeal through us as his personal representatives. And he begs through us for his sake to lay hold of this divine favor and be reconciled to God. Be drawn back into right relationship with him. So the gospel message, through the parables, the kingdom is telling you through Jesus's teaching, this is how it works. And he said, when you get this one parable, they're going to open up to you all the other parables. So, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, how does that work? So I took a little list and I just a few of the parables here, and I'm going to see if this makes sense. Okay. Just see if this makes sense. Okay. So in Matthew 5, the parable of the light of the world, that the light of the world, that's you and I. Jesus is the light of the world. And then he said, you're the light of the world. That's the parable of the lamp. Do you see how that ties into now that you're a kingdom rep, an ambassador? You see how the parables are like coming in line? So then if it started off with a seed, so as the light of the world, the light that you're to bring is word, the word. Okay, so there's one. So we can get one. That's one. How about this? Judge not, lest you be judged. And actually, the same measure that you judge with, guess what? You'll be judged back, right? Oh, forget that one. So then you tie that together with the parable. Okay, so the word is seed. So when we throw out seeds of judgment, are we aligning ourselves as an ambassador with a kingdom parable? Are we taking the enemy's words and using them against people and thinking, well, I have a right to because they're pretty screwed up? You're not falling in line with the kingdom parable. The sower sows the seed. The seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. That word, according to Isaiah, it will not return void, but it always accomplishes what it was sent for. Got to throw out the right seed. Okay, so then Matthew 18, it says, do not despise any of the little ones. And so it goes on to say that he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And so that's the parable of the lost sheep. So you see, as an ambassador, he's sending us out. You know, your realm of influence, each and every one of us have a realm of influence. But you guys, like we know, you guys, y'all get to talk to people we'll never get to talk to because of your realm of influence. So God will go after that one. And when they're in a safe place, he's sending you out. He's sending you out. And what are you going to take when you go? You take seed. You throw it at them. God loves you. Man, he loves you with an everlasting love. He's not, let me introduce you to Jesus, who reconciled, who's at peace with you through the cross. Then here's this another one. You are to enforce the law, a better covenant. Remember the parable of the new cloth and the old wineskin and that. So this is you can't put this into old ways. So if we're trying to do this some other way with law, with wrath, but Jesus said, but this is the pivotal parable. You have to do it this way. So we're, you know, the kingdom works by laws, just like Deer Park. You know, there's laws here for a reason. And so the kingdom, it works by laws. When we work it, do it this way, we get the kingdom, we get the 30, 60, 90. If we want to do it some other way, we're going to get 30, 60, 90, but not of the kingdom. We want to draw from the kingdom, right? As the ambassadors, we want to speak the words. We want to represent the kingdom that we're actually from. And that's how we're going to bring that kingdom here on earth. Did you know there's I know y'all know the scripture that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed and made whole. You are healed and made whole. But you know what instead we say? Oh, ow, I'm getting old. That hurts. And then we watch TV, and how many more pills can we take? And then we wonder why we can't poop. Those are the disclaimers. But we don't sow the seed of the Word of God. This is seed. I know, it's funny, but it's true. It is true. It is true. You know what? And you know what? And I know that's kind of funny, but let me tell you this. Uproot it. Amen. Uproot that right now. Amen. If you have bought into that lie, I remember when I was a kid, I was terrified of menopause because of everything the ladies say about it. I was. I thought, oh my gosh, you're going to go insane when you reach 50. They're going to burn you at the stake. I was so scared. So scared. I really was. I thought, oh my gosh, this is what happens to all the women and nobody likes them anymore. And I'm just terrified. Let me tell you something. I applied this. I was going through some health things, and I know y'all know before, but I had a bone disease when I was a baby, and I had terrible reports on how, you know, longevity of life or walking and all that kind of whatever, all that stuff. When I heard about sowing seed of the Word of God, I took in Proverbs where it says, I'll just read you this. This is Proverbs chapter, let's see, where am I at? Proverbs. This is amazing. This is so amazing. And I quoted you that, lean on, trust in the Lord, be confident in him. But if you go down to verse 7, it says, be not wise in your own eyes, reverently fear and worship the Lord, turn away from evil, and it will be health to your nerves and marrow and moistening to your bones. So I took that right there, and I would say, I'm going to worship you. And one of the ways we worship him is we speak out his word. You're a good father. You're so wonderful. I just love you. You're just so good to us. We're sowing seeds. And that causes us to turn from evil. And I said, by faith, I believe that's going to put marrow and moistening in my bones. God's word always works. Or you can take the report of the doctors, right? We do this with our health. We do this with our finances. We do this with our kids. Linda gave me something and gave it to Sarah. And confessions that you say over your kids instead of, you know, they're such losers, they're never going to make it, things aren't going to get better. No, we say they are destined for good. We bind their mind to the mind of the Lord. They will walk in victory. They are led by him. They are led by his voice. They're never led astray by a stranger. You see what I'm saying? The kingdom works by words. Kingdom works by words. It's the one parable that Jesus said. There's so many of those if and then things. There's things that are done for us, but there are some if and thens. Yeah. There are. And you've heard you're hung by your tongue. You know, in James, it says that you can turn a whole ship around by this itsy bitsy little rudder. And then it said you could move an entire horse by something that's just in his mouth. It just pulls him. In other words, you can turn your whole life around with this right here. Right here. Amazing, isn't it? Did you know that's how God spoke the world into existence? He has such integrity in his words. He didn't have to waver back and forth. I wonder if it'll be... No, when he came and it was chaotic, light. And it was good. All of it was good. Then when he made us, he said, very good. Very good. Very good. Because they're going to walk like me. They're going to act like me. They're going to... Remember the song on the Jungle Book? We're going to walk like you, talk like you. You know, anyway. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to repent? And I'm not talking about groveling. That does not work. It's already done. All we got to do is just turn around and go the other way.
Amen.
Okay, that's it. We're not going to just go over, beat ourselves up all night. Because that's how this leaves you before you leave the church. Is because you immediately think, oh gosh, I've done so bad at this. And then you don't even bother starting over and trying. Get back. Get into Mark 4. Read the parable. Read the parable of the sower. Go back over it. And, yes, sir. I will do this your way. I'm going to sow seeds over my home, over my life, over my family, over this community, over this church, over my spouse, over our country. Do you wonder if we're in the predicament that we're in today because we have spoken into existence?
Yes.
Let's take our authority back. It was given to us anyway. We just relinquished it. And the way we do it is this right here. Can turn everything around. Everything around. So we can, we're going to close, but not like just so abruptly. Let's just take a minute and let's let God like talk to us, you know. And he may give you something tonight, a word to speak out to the body. We want that here. It's so welcomed. I want that. I want to hear. I want to hear. I know Pastor M 100% on board. We want to hear what the Lord is saying, and consider yourself a vessel that gets done through all of you, everyone in here. So Father, we just settle down. And I know God, gosh, done so many, said it so wrong, so many times, so many ways. Just want to get that habit. And with all my friends tonight, just to skip the guilt step and just to hop right over that, and instead just, we want to sow seed of the word everywhere we go. We're not responsible for other people's ground. We just keep sowing. We just keep sowing because we are in this ministry of reconciliation, and we are going to speak kingdom words and just let you do what you do through each and every one of us, wherever we go, whoever we're with, you just be God. Sunt de gea sotea sa, pentru necrenea mea și unde ne mea crea.